the Chicago Tomahawk. I am Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over some Blackhawks news, their last game where they got wrecked versus the Blues. We're going to talk about some trade talk, some rumors, because that, you know, that's always fun. Matt's got some good stuff on that. But before we get into it, I want to let everybody know we're an FHN podcast. Go check out the FHN.net for some articles and hockey news or some podcasts on there as well. So be sure to check that out and, you know, let us know what you think. So here we go. You know, the Blackhawks played the Blues on, you know, they played the Blues and it wasn't pretty. It was Saturday night. I thought that it was going to be a good game. Jason Ross was calling the game with Eddie O. I'd like to see a game where Jason Ross calls a game with Nico.
Yeah.
Nick Olchek. And see the chemistry that they have. You know, I don't think that the Blackhawks have necessarily done the right thing this year with what they've been doing with their, you know, their broadcasting change of the great Pat Foley, you know, retiring. And yeah, sure, I get it. You want to test out some talent out there, but they've had some good people on there, you know, like Nico, and they've had some bad people on there as well. You know, I don't want to name any names because I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but you could probably guess who he is. And but I think that they could have done a better job, at least for the fans. If it's going to be something like this, maybe they should be advertising or maybe promoting, you know, Troy Murray and John Weidman to TV, and then actually, you know, kind of doing a tryout for radio. You know, Weidman and Murray have, obviously they've had chemistry for a long time. They're both great together. They're already there watching the game. So the only thing that would be different would be is that that broadcast would be on TV and not on the radio.
And you could see their face.
And you could see their face from time to time, you know, and they're both incredible. So, and then that would give the opportunity for maybe like a guy like Jason Ross Jr. to kind of, you know, people get to know him, you know, a little bit more. Because at one point, you know, Troy Murray and John Weidman, they weren't household names like they are today. At least if you're a Blackhawks fan. So, anyways, we got one more game that Jason's calling. He's, you know, he's been great. Check out podcast 95 if you want to know more about him and his story so far. And you know, kind of here we go. You know, Blackhawks play the Blues. They got thumped, and there wasn't really much out of the game. But the, you know, the predictable only goal that they got was from Dylan Strome, and it was at, what was it, 2-1 at that point, Matt?
Yeah, there was still a game out of it, and Fleury made some big saves to keep us in, and then the Blues just were too powerful. Tarasenko kind of took over the game, and it just makes me wonder, like, this guy was available to the Kraken, and you know, they didn't want to go with him, and they could have had him for free, and he's having a great season. A lot of people thought he was still hurt, but after that last game, man, he's got such an elite shot.
Yeah, he does.
And he's an exciting player, and he looks healthy. So that's scary for the Blues, or it's scary for the other teams in the NHL, because the Blues are scary to me.
Good for him, because, you know, he was having shoulder issues for, I want to say, the past couple years. He had a surgery done, and it looks like he's firing on all cylinders now.
Yeah, and he wanted to be traded at the beginning of the year, and I think that that's died. I haven't heard anything about that anymore.
So the Blackhawks, for their GM search, have interviewed another candidate, Matthew Darche. I don't even know how to say his first name. Matthew Darche. He's the director of hockey operations for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's played 250 games over nine seasons in the NHL, and he retired in 2013. You know, coming from a organization like Tampa Bay, who has obviously had a lot of success over the past couple years, you think that maybe you want to bring some of that success over here. Matt, have you heard anything about this guy?
I haven't, but, you know, you're interviewing the right guy in the right organization, because, like you said, they're winning. They have back-to-back cups, very successful in drafting. I mean, Braden Point, they're finding really good players. And obviously, Vasilevskiy, another good player. It's a smart guy, and it's a good interview, I think, for the Hawks.
Yeah, I think it is too. And, you know, to their credit, they've interviewed six very different individuals, which I think is great, you know, because talking to different people, you might get different ideas from somebody, you know, and it's like, you know what, this is something that we haven't even thought about. And that's something that we need to take into consideration. And, you know, maybe something that you could bring up in a second interview with other candidates that you have interviewed. You know, guys from a winning organization, especially guys who are looking to make the jump, getting a promotion, they have ideas. They have fresh ideas, I would say. They have the know-it-all to knowing what it's like to be with a winning organization, try to bring that experience, but also try to bring their thing to, you know, to the organization that they are getting that promotion with. I'd like to hear more about this guy, more of the work that he's done in Tampa. You know, if you see if he would like to keep a player like Dylan Strome. You know, Dylan Strome has been playing, what, he's got like 6 goals and 8 assists in the past 12 games. You know, that's pretty impressive, Matt.
Yeah, he's turned it up. Like I said in a tweet, I know you and I have been pretty tough on me, especially since last year, but ever since the coaching change, it maybe took a little while for him to get, you know, going, but he's been one of the best Hawks in the last couple weeks. So I know Kaner even came out and said, he's a guy you want to build around. This is a guy you want to keep. And you know, I know Kaner's, he's sticking up for his teammate and, you know, he's, you know, looking out for him and everything, but it's going to be up to the GM in the end who we hire. So I hope they get this done soon before the deadline. So this guy, you know, he can get a head start on his draft. He can start trading and maybe collecting some picks and kind of put out his blueprint, you know, on the table so everybody could see it.
You know, Matt, do you think that maybe it's a little bit too late? Maybe the ship has sailed on that? Because, you know, I would think that somebody like that would, if we would have done it by Christmas, you know, he would be able to sit back and say, all right, let me see what I have here, you know, instead of jumping in and having to try to pull off a miracle or, you know, put out a good blueprint, you know, within, you know, 2 weeks. That doesn't really put him in the right position for success.
Well, you got 5 weeks, I think, till the deadline. You know, maybe you hire a guy in the next, say, 3, and he's got a good 2 weeks to see what he's got. Most of these guys they're interviewing know the Hawks already. I'm sure the Hawks have been privately, you know, interest in these guys, and they've been, you know, following the team, and they probably have an idea who they'd like to keep, who they'd like to trade. And you give the guy a 2 week window, like, okay, here's the thing. I can get a head start. I can start stockpiling some picks, maybe get some prospects, start moving guys, see what, you know, what Kaner is going to do in the future. Is he going to resign Taves? What are we going to do? Maybe we can move these guys at the draft. And just, I mean, it's a lost season as of now. I mean, there's really no hope now for playoffs or wild card or anything. But I would like to see them get it done within these next, I'd say, 4 weeks. But if, you know, they might wait till after the deadline. I'd like to see it done before that so this guy can get to work.
Is there anybody kind of sticking out in your head that you're like, you know, man, I think this guy is the guy? Or do you still need more information before you can make like a prediction like that?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I wish I was in the room with those guys to see, like, you know what? I liked Scott Mellenby as a player, but it's, you know, he was in Montreal, I believe, and, you know, that kind of went bad fast. He lost your goalie, and, you know, he lost your captain, and I think he resigned this year, didn't he? I think he stepped down.
Yeah, in November he did.
I mean, yeah, we knew they were going to be in bad shape there. Injuries caught up to him. They lost Philippe Deneau. I mean, I kind of liked him so far, but I also liked the Hurricanes assistant GM. I think his name was it Tulski? Yeah. I like, you know, like you said, there's different minds. Like, he's an analytics guy. Sometimes that works if, you know, you're surrounded by good people around you and stuff. But so far, I think I like those two the best. Definitely no to Peter Chiarelli, just because I think he would trade Patrick Kane for, you know, like Andrew Ladd right now. That's just how bad he is with trading. So I don't want to see any of that. And this Tampa Bay guy, I think I do remember him, Matthew. I think it's Darche, maybe. but you know, he's been around a winning culture. That's sometimes it's good. You go and get an opportunity to lead the team, and you kind of bring those values and ideas from Tampa to another team. It might help. So, so far, I think Scott Mellenby might be my favorite, though, as stupid as it may sound. But I just like that former player, that guy who's been through the grind, knows what playing 82 games is like, playing playoff series. I think those guys make better GMs, in my opinion.
You know, as a GM, like what Stan Bowman did, was he gave Marc-Andre Fleury an opportunity to come to the Blackhawks, and he gave him a gentleman's agreement saying, hey, look, you come play for the Hawks, you could play it out for the year, you could be our guy, mentor our young guy, because he needs a little mentorship, and in return, I won't trade you at the trade deadline. So obviously Stan Bowman is not with the Blackhawks anymore. We have Kyle Davidson. I'm wondering, it almost seems as if Kyle Davidson is honoring that. He's honoring that gentleman's agreement that he had with that Stan had with Flower, because there's been some interest in Marc-Andre Fleury. And I said it before, I don't think that he wants to be traded or go somewhere else because, I think possibly for family reasons. We've got some interest from the Capitals, Matt. What do you know about that?
Yes, I've heard that the Caps have been in on Fleury. They've been trying to acquire him, and I guess Fleury's been saying no. That's the rumor, and it could be, hey, I don't want to play for those guys. I went against them in wars I had with these guys in the playoffs when I was with the Penguins. I can't stand them. I don't know if you remember, he played Ovi in the final when he was with Vegas. Those two were fighting in warmups.
Right.
They're tapping each other as they're skating. Yeah. It was like a scene from Slapshot.
Yeah.
Or, and maybe he just, you know, like you said, he wants to keep the kids and the wife here. And, you know, at the end of the year, maybe he'll retire. Maybe he'll go somewhere else. But he doesn't want to move them now. They're probably comfortable. A couple weeks ago, I thought he would go, but I think he's going to stay put.
Yeah, it's got to be kind of hard, man, especially if somebody his age. You know, he's married. He's got kids. You know, they have a home here now. You know, kids are in school. You know, I would imagine, you know, we're both married. I'd want to keep, if I'm able to live my dream and play in the NHL, you know, I'd want to keep the wife happy. And if I'm telling the wife we're moving again, taking the kids out of school, you know, my wife would be furious.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough. The only team I could possibly see him saying yes to would be Pittsburgh. But
right.
Pittsburgh, I mean, Jari, he's playing great this year. He's had a huge turnaround from that playoffs last year. He was god-awful. But, you know, he would be a good insurance guy to have, though, in the playoffs. Like, hey, if our guy is not up to the task, we know Fleury would be. So, I mean, you never know. We got 5 weeks, but I think he's going to stay put.
Yeah, I agree. You know, with the playoffs coming up, you know, some teams have to make some decisions. Looks like Jack Eichel's going to make his debut coming up Wednesday, and Mark Stone is going to be out. Can you give me some info on Mark Stone? I know he's had some injury issues as of late. You know, what's going on with him?
So here's the funny thing. When they said Eichel is going to be activated, somebody's going to have to get traded. So, believe it or not, this could be a blessing for Vegas that Stone's out. Now they have the cap space to not get rid of anybody, and they put Stone on long-term IR, and I believe he's got a bad back injury.
Oh,
but
man.
Here's the thing. I've had Stone all season. He has been on and off the IR. He's been a pain in the butt for me. But why would he play in the All-Star game? Is it because it was in Vegas? I that was stupid to me. If he was hurt, he should have said, hey, I'm hurt. Let's put somebody else from the team up, and I'm going to rest. So I didn't get that one because he played the next game and he left early, and now it's a bad back injury I'm hearing, and he might need surgery.
Holy smoke. I think that he played the game because he's in Vegas. He's Vegas' star. You know, they need him for that. I mean, they're not going to tout out. Marcia Salt was already in the All-Star game. So if you really think about it, what was really Mark Stone doing out there?
It's pointless. It was a dumb game anyway. I didn't get that. Maybe I hope he didn't injure it at the All-Star game. That would be just awful. Yeah. Your captain, you're the guy you're depending on. But I mean, I don't know if he's going to be back this season. I don't even think he might not even be back for the playoffs. So, you know, Vegas, they go for it every year. And they brought Eichel in to get him over that hump there. They got good centers now. I don't know. It's weird. You know, you'd like to see Vegas fully healthy, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, it's just been a pain, especially mentioning Mark Stone. He has been on and off the IR all year. And especially now that they've got Eichel and they're looking to go for it, you would think that should they, like, hey, look, have the surgery, take your time coming back with Mark Stone because you don't want to ruin him for next year, you know, or ruin his career. Yeah. So what's his cap hit? 8.5?
I think it's right around high 7, maybe 8, I believe.
So they put him on LTIR, and what do you know? He got $7 million in cap space. Who can they go after at the trade deadline? You know, to be honest with you, Joe Pavelski kind of pops into my head.
Well, I don't think they can get anybody because they have to activate Eichel's 10.
So I think that's right.
I think they're right up against the cap still. So this is almost like a trade acquisition. You know, it's like getting getting a top star they're going to be getting, and he's going to make a huge difference for this team. But it just sucks that he can't do it with Mark Stone because these are two top players, and it's a blow. I mean, you're happy you're getting an elite player, but you're also losing one. So hopefully Eichel is up to the task because they're gonna lean on him a lot.
Where do you see Pavelski going?
This is interesting. I think Pavelski should be team's top player to go after just because he's cheaper and he's a big game player. He's always showed up for the big games. He's always putting up great numbers. Claude Giroux is probably the top prize, I think, at the deadline. But, you know, I mean, he's been on Philly forever. They've had some good years. I mean, I don't think they've been to any, like, Eastern Finals since 2010 against the Hawks, quite honestly. But if I'm a GM trying to get over the hump, trying to win the cup this year, going all out, say, like, I'm Joe Sakic, I'm calling Dallas, and I'm saying, hey, I want Pavelski to be my third-line, second-line center. Power play guy, and I'd give a first round pick honestly if I'm going for it, because next year we all know Kadri is he's having a great season this year. He's making, I think he just put up 61 points, his career high, and he's on pace for probably 82, maybe even 90 the way that the Avs are playing. He I think will not be on the team next year. I think he's gonna go get paid, get as much as he can get. Someone's going to pay. And I don't think the Avalanche will have the space to do it. And if you get a guy like Pavelski to play with you this season and he really enjoys it, you could sign him cheap next year. I mean, that's what I would do. I would think for the future and think about getting the cup this year as well.
You know what, man? I don't think the Avs can get past the Blues. I think that Pavelski would definitely be a great addition to that team. I don't think that he would be enough to get over that hump, though. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon would have to score at a great rate like he normally does. Yeah. You're going to need production up and down the lineup. And on top of that, you're going to need Cale Makar to defend as well as produce offense.
And your goalie to show up. And this goalie, Kemper, I don't know too much about him in the playoffs, except, quite honestly, I remember when the Hawks played him, he wasn't that good at all. No. That was years ago. So, and he's been with Phoenix for a couple of years. They haven't been playoff tested. And like you said, I agree with you with the Blues. Can you imagine if the Blues landed Pavelski? I think he would fit right in with those guys the way he plays. I know the Blues always acquire a... It seems like they always acquire a decent American guy to fit in with their system, and they just roll even more. So, I mean, that could be an option for the Blues as well. And if, say, Joe Sakic wants Claude Giroux for the same purposes as, hey, I'm going to lose Kadri next season, maybe I can get a head start and I can talk to Giroux coming back here next year cheaper, and that would be a good second-line center option. So,
wasn't Mike Hoffman there last year?
Mike Hoffman was with the Blues last year, I believe.
I'm really surprised that he had a down year with them.
Yeah, it was just a weird season, man. I thought he would have fit in very well on that team. Yeah. I think ever since he left Florida, he just hasn't been the same player.
Which is weird because he's been very consistent because he came from Ottawa, right?
Yeah, Ottawa, and I believe he went to Florida, and he put up really good numbers down there in Florida.
Both.
Yeah, and then St. Louis went for him, and they said, hey, we need a guy that can shoot the puck, and he's not afraid to score some goals. And he just didn't work out, and I believe he went, I think he's with the Habs right now. He can even get moved. You never know. I think the Habs are going to get rid of everybody. Yeah. Like they got the, I don't know if we mentioned it today, Tyler Toffoli was traded to the Flames earlier for Tyler Pitlick, a prospect, Hyman, I think, or Heeman, and a first round pick and a 2024 fifth round pick. So I thought, I mean, the Habs made out like bandits. They got some good prospects, two picks, one's a first round pick. I mean, the Flames got a good player too. Daryl Sutter won the Stanley Cup with Tyler Toffoli on the Kings. So
right.
I had a feeling Sutter had a big part of this trade.
Right.
Yeah, I know this guy. I want this guy. He's my type of guy.
And he already knows.
Think both teams made out like bandits. It was just a good hockey trade.
Yeah, I think so too. Really incredible. So if Tyler Toffoli can get that kind of interest, what kind of interest do you think maybe a player like Dominic Kubalik can get?
Well, at the minimum, probably a second-round pick. I mean, I'd like to see him get a first-round pick, but it's all going to depend on all these guys in front of us, I like we just talked about, like Claude Giroux, Pavelski. Say the Rangers, you know, they missed out on all these guys, and hey, we'll give you a first-rounder for Kubalik. I mean, I'd be completely happy with that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, obviously, it's going to be getting much more interesting headed down. We're going to be getting to the trade deadline in a few weeks. And just seeing where players are, you know, the rumors, where could they go? What could other teams get? What are other teams getting? Who's overpaying for who? You know, it's really, really interesting. Now that football's over, I think that hockey is going to, you know, get more of the limelight in the sporting news and, you know, maybe more coverage. So we're going to keep everybody posted with that. I don't have any more for today. Do you, Matt?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to Jeff Skinner. Scored 4 goals last night.
Holy smoke. Putting
his total to 20 this year. Last year, he could not buy a goal. He is having a great season for the Sabres this season.
Yeah, good for him. You know,
good
to
see.
You got a guy making $9 million, you know, and he's not scoring goals. That's never good for an organization. And then again, you know, nothing went right for the Sabres last year. It was, you know, it was as bad as it could get.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But it's good that you know, it looks like they're not as bad as they were last year. They're putting some wins up. They're competitive. But it's going to take some time.
Well, all right, everybody. That's all that we got for you tonight. Do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button. We're very, very appreciative. And we'll see you on the next podcast. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.